That's right. It is Monday. That means it is time for Oh Snap with Brett Goode this morning. The Packers long snapper joins us here at Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. Mr. Goode, how you doing this morning?
Oh, doing really good. How about yourself?
Very good. We didn't have you on the show last week, and I'm sure you've talked about this topic ad nauseum more than you want to, but now that you have a win over the Saints yesterday, Sunday at Lambeau Field, is this team over what happened in Seattle?
Oh, definitely over it. You know, that just shows that the nature of our business. You have to forget wins and losses, and, you know, now for us, it's even on to the next game, and, you know, we just got to keep moving forward and keep building as a team.
Well, congratulations, but I have to ask you this. What was your reaction to the return of the regular referees when they appeared to botch a call on a fumble on the kickoff return that would have given the Packers possession of the ball late in the game? I think everyone hoped the botch calls would go away, but that wasn't exactly the case.
Well, you know, it's tough, and, you know, it's just part of the game. It happens, you know, around the league, and it's just, you know, like I said, it's part of the game, and we have to move forward and step up, and we were able to break through the adversity there and come out with a victory.
We're joined by Packers long snapper Brett Goode this morning here on Railbird Central, and we have a pretty important special teams play to discuss this morning. In the second quarter, a surprising fake punt was called. Take us through the X's and O's of that play. Describe what happened.
It was just one of those situations where, you know, we felt like we had the opportunity and it was an alert that we went out there and, you know, they gave us what we needed and we were able to execute it. It was a big play in the game. We were able to get a touchdown out of it, and then, you know, it ended up being huge for us. And so it's just anytime you're able to kind of steal possession away because, you know, the offense went three. We were fixing that to punt, obviously, and, you know, we were able to kind of get the ball back and steal possession from the Saints and keep their offense off the field and keep ours on, and, you know, it was huge for us.
At the time, of course, you, the Packers, were on your own 17-yard line. Were you worried at all that it might not work because you were backed up so far in your own territory? Not worried that it wouldn't work, but just worried that you were so far deep in your own territory.
No, not at all. I think that's just, you know, one of the things that, you know, that's the kind of situation that you run those in, and, you know, you see it across the league and other, you know, other places in college and stuff, and teams, you know, running that, and you know, you got to be successful if you're going to run it, you know, especially because you are backed up. You don't want to put your defense in a, you know, in a bad field position, but, you know, we went out there with full confidence, and we knew we were going to be able to get the first down if we were able to run it, and, you know, and we were able to run it. And so, you know, the guys on the, did a great job blocking and able to open it up for John to be able to get the first down.
You got to help me out here. Did this call come from the sideline, or did John Kuhn make this call?
Well, the alert call comes from the sideline. That comes from the head coach. And, you know, then when we get out there and John makes the final decision on what we do, and, you know, John's our quarterback out there on the punt team, you know, every day. So he makes the final call, but it definitely comes from the sideline.
Very interesting. What's up with the Packers special teams this year and fake plays going back to the fake field goal for a touchdown against the Bears? Where is this coming from?
You know, it's nice to be able to be out there on scoring plays and big plays like that, to be able to get a first down, and, you know, anything we can do substitutes wise to help our offense and help the team win games, you know, we're more than willing to be able to do it. And you know, those are fun plays to be able to run, and you know, we did a great job executing both of them.
Very good, Brett. I just want to change directions with you here for a second. I know you're a University of Arkansas alumni, kind of a rough season in Arkansas, and I guess I just want to get your reaction a little bit to what's happening there. They've had some tough times. What's going to happen the rest of the season in Arkansas?
Well, I think I feel bad for the seniors because it's their last year and it's their last chance to really make an impression on the university, and you don't want to go out as a losing team. They're just going to have to really come together and, you know, and not give up. The season's not all lost yet. They're still able to kind of resurrect the, you know, the outcome of the rest of the season if they're able to come together as a team. And, you know, that's going to be on the seniors. It doesn't look like the coaching staff is going to help them out in that aspect. So I'm putting all the onus on the seniors of that class and being able to come out and, you know, hopefully they can resurrect it and make a, you know, have more wins to finish the season than they've had started.
Does the university stick with John L. Smith as head coach?
I don't think so. It's a tough decision, but I don't think that the leadership is there from him. I think it's too much of a distraction. I think they've had enough distractions since what happened with Bobby Petrino, and I think it's time for, you know, him to kind of step down and let the other coaches and the players just kind of take over the program, because it's you definitely don't need any more distractions than you have to deal with, and he's adding a few more distractions than we need.
Well, instead of looking back, let's look forward here. The Packers begin their first of three straight road games coming up. That's a pretty rare occurrence in the NFL. How do you prepare for three consecutive away from home?
I think you just do it like every other game. You got to take it one game at a time, and, you know, we got to take care of business, you know, the first one, and then we can move on to the next one. And that's kind of the business approach, and it'll be a business trip on all three. And it will be tough down the stretch, but, you know, they're all on Sunday, and so that's, you know, we're not going to be playing on Thursday and Monday throughout that process, so it'll be good to kind of get on a regular schedule, and, you know, hopefully we can just get out there and take care of business.
Well, very good. Brett, congratulations on the victory yesterday against the Saints, and good luck as you begin this stretch of three in a row on the road, starting on Sunday against the Indianapolis Colts. We thank you very much for joining us here at Cheesehead TV.
All right, thank you. Have a good one.
Thanks a lot. Packers long snapper Brett Coon joining us here at Railbird Central for Oh Snap with Brett Coon. So glad to have him joining us, and we can be in a good mood today after the Packers won, right? Finally, it is time to feel good about the Green Bay Packers. It was quite the interesting game yesterday. I think maybe some Packer fans needed defibrillators out there. I think the heart was palpitating quite a bit yesterday throughout the game. Just 1 week, not even a week, just 6 days after the debacle in Seattle. I'm not sure what else to call it other than that they blew the call. Highly controversial. National attention. The Packers come back to the real refs, and boy, was that a storyline, right? So the regular referees come back Sunday, Lambeau Field. I mean, we could go back to the Thursday night game against the Ravens and the Browns, nationally televised. The referees get a standing ovation. They tip their caps. Pretty much the same thing happens at Lambeau Field with the referees. They tip their caps and get a nice hearty round of applause. But then, the referees have an impact on the outcome of the game. I think there was a point when the Packers thought, is anything going to go our way? Is anything going to go our way? And you know, certainly the Saints got penalized more than the Packers. There was a difference there. So it's not like every call went against the Packers, because the Saints were actually penalized more. But there was one or two very important calls that went against the Packers that could have impacted the outcome of the game. Of course, the biggest was probably the missed call on a kickoff return when Saints return specialist Darren Sproles fumbled the football. I mean, replays confirmed it, except that the Packers did not have a challenge. The ruling on the field is he was down by contact. Definitely not the case. But the Packers, out of challenges, cannot challenge it. So there's no recourse for them to change the call. No recourse for them to have any chance at getting the football that they rightly deserve. Desmond Moses, the rookie, both forcing and I believe recovering the fumble, although the recover certainly was not official. But so on top of that, though, the reason the Packers did not have a challenge is because they lost their second challenge of the game. And we'll get to the first here yet, too. They lost their second challenge of the game when Mike McCarthy challenged the call of a complete catch to Saints tight end Jimmy Graham. And this happened, I believe, early in the third quarter. The Packers lose the challenge when, wow, I mean, I don't know how the replay officials called that a catch. I can understand the call on the field being a catch. It happens fast. It kind of looks like he has possession of the ball. But there is no doubt the tip of that ball hit the field when he did not have his hands underneath it. You know, it was just absolutely, I mean, that was no more a missed catch than the one by Jordy Nelson early in the game. So we'll get to that in a second, like I said. But anyhow, the impact is that the Packers do not have any challenges, can't challenge the call of the fumble on the kickoff by Darren Sproles in the fourth quarter. And it really looked at that point that, wow, maybe the Packers could lose this game. And that was interesting. So, but yeah, I mean, okay, I suppose we can blame head coach Mike McCarthy a little bit here. I don't like doing this. Everybody makes mistakes. And I suppose the refs are included in that as well. But early in the game, first quarter, Mike McCarthy challenges the ruling of a drop ball by Jordy Nelson. And, I don't know if it was just a case of Mike McCarthy had to make up his mind too quickly. He didn't really maybe get a good look at it, or perhaps he was in the process of looking at it when he was running out of time. I don't know. But it turns out it just, you know, Nelson, you know, the football hit the ground. Yeah, you know, and that just can't happen. You got to have your hands underneath it, at least, if you're going to challenge a call like that. I see the comment here on the live blog. Ted the Sledge commenting, Nelson at least had control of the ball when his elbow was down. Bucky Yore commenting on our live blog, Nelson's wasn't a catch and was obviously a wasted challenge, but either was Graham's. So the Packers lose their challenges, can't challenge anything later on. So, you know, there is fault there still, the referees having an impact on the outcome of the game. And we haven't even gone to the end of the game yet. That, you know, made it even more controversial. The Saints are lining up, you know, the Packers are ahead. What was it at the time? 20, they were up 20, 27, 20. I forget the score. I got to look it up here. Let's see. The Packers, I do have the box score in front of me here. The Packers were up at the time 24-21. Or pardon me, they were up 28-27. Yeah, that was the case. And so late in the game, the Saints line up for the go-ahead field goal by Garrett Hartley, former Super Bowl hero. Garrett Hartley lining up for what was a 43-yard field goal. And it's up and it's good. And it looks like the Saints take the lead, except there was a holding call on Sam Shields, who was in for the field goal block unit, and the Packers have life once again. And so that pushes the call back 10 yards, and in rather interesting fashion, the Packers on the very next play get called for encroachment as Mike Daniels steps over the line of scrimmage, gives the Saints back 5 yards, ends up being a 48-yard field goal attempt, But this time, the third attempt at the field goal, it ends up being wide left. No good. No penalties called on the play. So the Packers maintained the lead. Got interesting at the end still. But regardless, the Packers come out of there with a victory. The Packers came out of the came away with the victory. That's all that counts, right? The Packers improved to 2-2, and nobody wanted to see the situation where they were 1-3, because that would be very desperate at that point if the Packers were 1-3 at this point. But the Packers now 2-2. They can feel good about themselves heading into a stretch of three consecutive road games coming up here, as we talked to Brett Goode about that just a little while ago. The Packers, let's talk about some of the good things here. We've talked about the controversy now about the refs. The Packers offense was pretty good yesterday. Pretty good. I mean, not perfect by any means, but very good. And it is part of the reason the Packers won that football game. And I suppose the hero of the day was wide receiver James Jones. And here's a guy who was, you know, maligned, I would say, coming into this game. I mean, James Jones has played well throughout his career. What is he in his fifth year now? Sixth year? Been a lot of discussion, as it says right here, Ted the Sledge chiming in. Trade Jones for a sixth rounder, throwing in his sarcasm in there. Been a lot of talk in the offseason. Been a lot of talk for two offseasons about the Packers and trading James Jones. I suppose two seasons ago it was how he was a free agent, though. But anyhow, the Packers, you know, signed Jones to a contract. He's never had the consistency. He's always had potential. It's always been potential with James Jones. Never really has the consistency. He's played well over the years, no doubt about it. But he's also had some tough times as well, especially with dropped passes. A lot of people get on him for dropped passes. Of course, just 2 weeks ago, week two against the Chicago Bears, gets, you know, yelled at in a very public fashion by quarterback Aaron Rodgers for kind of running the wrong route on a play that was intercepted. And kind of Aaron Rodgers thought James Jones was partially at fault for that interception. So a guy who's, you know, gotten a lot of grief the past weeks, the past months, the past few years for James Jones. Okay, and now here's to praise the man, coming up with arguably the biggest game of his career. So, I mean, not only does he have two touchdown passes, both coming in the first half, that give the Packers the early lead, the very first score of the game, later to put the Packers up by a touchdown, 21-7, I believe, 21-14, no, 21-7. Yeah, at the time, it was up by two scores in the second quarter there. But on top of that, on top of the two touchdowns, it was a catch late in the game for which James Jones will probably be remembered for even more. So after the missed field goal by Garrett Hartley, the Packers just have to run out the clock. They are facing, I think it was a 3rd-and-3 with less than 2 minutes remaining. The 2-minute warning had just been taken prior to that. And the Packers needed a first down to keep the clock rolling because the Saints were out of timeouts. So they get the first down, the game's over. They fail to convert, and the Saints might get the ball back. And that was a scary proposition, the way Drew Brees played yesterday. And so it's 3rd-and-3, and Aaron Rodgers looks to James Jones' direction on the right sideline. A defensive back has the back to the football. He's going after James Jones. Jones just sticks his right hand out, somehow corrals the ball, with the defensive back right in front of him. Defensive back ends up getting called for pass interference, and it doesn't matter because James Jones caught the ball anyway, and the first down was converted. Didn't even matter that it was pass interference. What I assume it was declined. I don't even know. I assume it was declined because the Packers got the first down, and all they had to do from that point on was just kneel on the football, and the game is history. So James Jones coming up with the performance of his career yesterday for the Green Bay Packers. So congratulations to him, and Packers moving forward here. James Jones becoming quite a threat in the Packers passing game. And because nobody else has really stepped up all that much. Everybody's had their, you know, moments here and there. But now, Greg Jennings, Packers' number one wide receiver, out with a groin injury yesterday. We kind of wait and see to what happens with Greg Jennings. Don't really know a whole lot other than he re-aggravated his groin injury. We don't know the extent of the injury yet. I'm sure the Packers are trying to determine that probably at the moment, what they're going to do. I'm wondering to myself if perhaps Greg Jennings could be a candidate for the injured reserve exemption that would put him on the sidelines for a minimum of 6 weeks. You got to sit out a minimum of 6 weeks if they might just do that and make sure he's healthy when he comes back. Because now, Greg Jennings has already been injured once earlier this year, week one against the San Francisco 49ers. He gets injured late in the game. I mean, we're talking late in the game, just a couple minutes left. But then has to sit out week two, didn't play at all, comes back week three. And things look like they're going okay until yesterday, until the Saints game. So, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, it's do you sit here and do you sit Greg Jennings out for a week or two, but maybe he's not 100% when he comes back? And, I don't know. It's a touchy subject, and the Packers are going to have to make a tough decision here. He might be a candidate for the injured reserve exemption, and perhaps that it would be notable because the Packers have to make a decision here on suspended defensive lineman Mike Neal, who I believe is eligible to come off suspension today, maybe tomorrow. I'm not exactly sure exactly when the NFL, you know, might have their rules about when he comes away. But anyway, sometime this week, the Packers going to have to make a decision there, a roster move to get Mike Neal back, because I don't think the Packers cut Mike Neal. I think that he'll be coming back, now they got to make room for him. Here we go. I see Ted the Sledge on the live blog saying, I think it's Richardson to injured reserve to make room for Neal, unless there's a serious injury we don't know about yet. I don't really know. I don't really know what the Packers' deal is with Sean Richardson either. Kind of been weird. He's been sitting out all year long pretty much with his own injury issues. I don't know the extent of them, but could be interesting to see what the Packers do in these next couple days in regards to Mike Neal, Greg Jennings, Sean Richardson, everybody. Some decisions to make for the Packers. I don't envy them, but we'll see. We will see. Elsewhere in yesterday's game, so many things to talk about. For the most part, like I was saying, we gave kudos to James Jones. The Packers passing game, offense in general, basically doing a good job moving the football, scoring 28 points, probably could have scored more, but Aaron Rodgers throwing for over 300 yards, four touchdowns, does have the one disappointing interception, but still, when you throw four touchdowns, that kind of makes up for it, and the Packers having enough success on the ground to feel good about yourself. Cedric Benson, the Packers running back, has what he has over 80 yards rushing, has over 20 yards passing, so he has over 100 all-purpose yards. So great day from Cedric Benson. You know, wasn't a great day on the ground by any means. You know, wasn't any of these breakaway runs or anything like that. But the Packers don't need that. They just need Cedric Benson to be reliable, and he was yesterday. He was reliable. You know, averages just over 4 yards a carry, and it works. It worked for the Packers, and that helps open up the play-action pass a little bit, and the offense, you know, getting in a groove. Looking good yesterday, looking good on Sunday against the Saints, and, you know, I suppose you can point to the Saints' 32nd-ranked rushing defense and a Saints defense that really has no pass rush whatsoever, and that alone was kind of a good remedy for the Packers. But still, Packers getting the job done. The offensive line didn't give up a single sack. 1 week after giving up 8 in the first half alone to the Seattle Seahawks, the Packers' offensive line doesn't give up any sacks whatsoever. So, great. You know, great news, right? Packers' offense all around looking pretty good, except one per. And I see Ted the Sledge here. It was good to see Cobb getting some more action. I agree totally. You got to get Cobb the football. He's got to touch that football, including returns. He's got to touch the football double digits per game. He has to. What, I don't care whether it's runs, passes, returns, whatever. He's got to touch the football at least double digits, at least. And I mean, that's a minimum. That's including returns. He should probably be touching the ball that much on offense alone. He is so fast. He's got to get him the ball. Got to get him the football. Talking about a good offensive performance, a good performance from everybody but one person probably. And that person was on the field for one play. And I see Ted here on our live blog pointing it out. The goat of the game is the 2-yard line that tripped Harrell. Yep. In fact, I think that Graham Harrell tripped on an offensive lineman, wasn't it? But regardless, I mean, so Graham Harrell, Packers backup quarterback, comes into the game never seeing action in an NFL regular season game. Yes, he's been in the preseason, never been in an NFL regular season game before. Finally gets his opportunity when Aaron Rodgers has to go to the sideline. He was swiped in the eye by a Saints defender, was penalized, but whatever. I mean, his vision is affected. He's got to go to the sideline. Packers try to keep it simple by calling a running play where all Graham Harrell has to do is hand the ball off. I mean, whether the play would have worked or not, and Harrell would have stayed on, had to stay on for a second down or a third down, could have been different. Maybe eventually would have had to pass the football anyway. Doesn't get to that point because Harrell trips, ends up fumbling on an attempted handoff to Cedric Benson. Saints recover. 14-point swing there. I mean, if you believe in that sort of thing, swings in football where the Packers could have scored a touchdown, but instead just plays later, that was the play, that 80-yard touchdown from Drew Brees to Joseph Morgan, and quite the change of momentum happening at that point. At that point, you are wondering, oh my goodness, do the Packers win this game? Because it looked in question at that point. But the Packers pull it out. They overcome the fumble by Graham Harrell. Hopefully that is the low point of his season. Everybody hopes, and it only gets better from here on out for him. I suppose we can hope that Graham Harrell is only playing in situations where the Packers are blowing out an opponent or something like that. But the Packers getting a victory on a day when they were -2 in turnover margin, and that does not happen very often. I mean, anybody in the NFL, Packers, not Packers, doesn't matter. If you are negative two in the turnover margin column, chances are there is probably like a less than 10% chance you're winning the game. But the Packers overcome it. Probably shouldn't have been minus two in the turnover column. They should have gotten a turnover from the kickoff from Darren Sproles. But regardless, the call goes against them anyway. Packers overcome it with some good offense. And you know what? They got timely defense. Drew Brees was great yesterday. A fantastic showing from two great quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees. But yeah, Brees picking apart the Packers for the most part, did a good job getting spreading the ball around to Colston, Graham, others. But the Packers got timely defense from certain key players. They got several pass deflections from Tremont Williams that were really big. DJ Smith looked good sniffing out a screen or two late in the ball game, doing a good job there. Casey Hayward made a couple plays in pass defense. So it wasn't great all around. The secondary got torched several times. Defensive coordinator Dom Capers didn't look like he had an answer for Drew Brees, but they come up with some timely plays and get the win. And yeah, Dom Capers, kind of an up and down start to the season. Looks great in weeks 2 and 3 against the Bears and Seahawks. Looks terrible in weeks 1 and 4 against the 49ers and the Saints. You don't really know what's happening. And the biggest question is, there was so much attention on how physical the Packers defense was against the Bears and like pressing Brandon Marshall, getting physical with him at the line of scrimmage, and it really worked. The Packers just shut down the Bears. They have 4 interceptions that game, and you just sit there and wonder, well, why don't you do that more often? They just play the zone coverage, and Drew Brees just picks the Packers apart. And you got to wonder, like, maybe it wouldn't happen if the Packers were a little more physical once in a while. So we'll see what defense the Packers have in store going forward here. Packers, not under Dom Capers, not known necessarily for a team that, you know, is physical, playing bump and run a lot at the line of scrimmage with wide receivers. They just don't do it that often. They do it, but not often. But you wonder if it's time for a change. The way Tremont Williams has been playing, he looks recovered from last year. The new physicality from Sam Shields, the rookie Casey Hayward's looking good. Charles Woodson. You got to wonder if that they're going to do that more going forward. We wait and see as the season goes on here. But thank you everybody so much for joining us here on Railbird Central on a Monday morning. Thanks to Brett Goode for joining us for his weekly segment, Oh Snap, with Brett Goode here at Railbird Central. We'll be back on Wednesday once again, our weekly interview with Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com. Always love what he brings to the table. Always love what he brings, the statistical analysis from Pro Football Focus. And so we'll see you then, folks. On behalf of John Rahor, on behalf of Jamie Jors, I'm Brian Kiravu. Stay tuned for coverage all week long at CheeseheadTV.com. We'll see you Wednesday. I leave you today with a song called Mental Floss by Keller Williams on Cy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.